You know how before every baseball game, the umpires and the managers for each team meet at home plate and they exchange lineups and they go over ground rules, you know, kind of the ground rules for that park. And they'll even do it, you know, if it's a 3 or 4 game series, they'll still do it the third or the fourth game, you know, just as a refresher. You know, the home manager will point out, okay, hey, if ball goes here, whatever. I feel like I need to throw out a ground rule today. The ground rule would be this, is that the conference commissioners for the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 are all three, I want to say this from the outset, they are much, infinitely more intelligent of a person than I am. That's why they're where they are and I'm where I'm at. Okay, I want to make that abundantly clear.
I'm not positive about that, but go ahead, Matt.
I want to say that from the start because these three guys are obviously, at least I believe, much more intelligent than me. But I heard some nonsense yesterday, Craig, that just made me fall out of my chair laughing. I know we're going to dive into it. This, as I think Brett McMurphy coined it, the Best Friends Alliance. There was some stuff yesterday. We talk about this all the time, how we'll hear things from athletes or coaches where it's like they don't even, like, respect people's intelligence. Like, they're literally questioning your intelligence when they say something. When I heard, and I think it was the ACC commissioner yesterday say, we need the Big 12 to be strong. I mean,
that's what he said.
Craig, who is fooling who here? Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to dive into. Again, I would highly recommend you stick around at 10 for Coach Jones's thoughts on what his old buddy Dave Wanstead used to say, somebody that used to work for Pat and Pat used to work for. So he knows Coach Wanstead real well. And we'll have Mark Rogers on at 11. And I know Mark has been on top of this thing as well.
All right. So Wanstead acts like it's just, well, I mean, it's just a fact that, I mean, that OSU and K-State are going to the Pac-12 and that, what, Kansas and Iowa State going to the Big Ten and West Virginia's going to the ACC. I mean, that's already a done deal, right?
If you listen to what he said yesterday, that's what, well, I mean, that's what he said. Those are the words. I mean, they, you know, you heard the morning show play the audio. We'll have more on this at 10. I'll just leave it at that. We'll find out more about this at 10. But that is what he said. I mean, I'm not the one to put the words in his mouth. He's the one that said it. But you know, if that happens, Craig, we've talked a lot about this. I think that's probably about as soft of a landing spot as Oklahoma State could have. I mean, we can go over pros and cons of each league about how, you know, the ACC, you wouldn't have the late starts, or the Big Ten's got a lot more national notoriety and all that sort of thing. Bottom line is, for Oklahoma State's sake, you know, they need to land in one of the major conferences. I don't think I'm breaking any new ground there.
Yeah, it's better than the Big 12 surviving. I mean, what's left of the Big 12?
Right.
And I know Tram wrote a piece this morning, and he wasn't saying that the Big 12 would still be, you know, retain his status. He said no one's saying the Big 12 is going to retain the status that it did have as number 3 in the Power 5, you know, before OU and Texas bolted. No one thinks that. But he said the Big 12 would like to retain its status in the Power 5, you know, and he was going over scenarios on how the Big 12 could survive. And what he came up with was Kansas basketball. And I still, I mean, Tram is great with what he does, but he didn't really explain to me. He told me that there are thousands of Kansas basketball fans that would pay $6.99 a month to watch the Jayhawks. Well, I realize there's a number of fans that might pay some certain amount of money to watch the Kansas Jayhawks. I mean, I buy the fact that Kansas basketball is a national brand. I don't know if that's enough to save the Big 12, though, Matt.
Okay, let me start off by saying I haven't read Barry's column today. And like you, I really enjoy reading Barry's work, and Barry can expound on this during the Total Dominance Hour this afternoon at 4:40. Let me say this unequivocally, though. men's basketball on down has zero to do with this discussion. It has nothing to do with it. Zero. That's why when going back to mid-July, you know, ever since, Craig, I've told the story, when I was sitting in a hot tub in St. Louis and I first get a text message from a buddy of mine saying, hey, you might want to get back from vacation here pretty quick. We haven't heard. Basketball does not even enter this discussion. Now, again, I haven't read Barry's column. I would need to read it. So I don't want to pass judgment on what he said. I know you read it. But well, basketball on down has nothing to do with anything, in my opinion.
Just a little context. And basically what Tram is saying is that, like, when the Big Ten added Rutgers, all right, a terrible football program. He said a nondescript basketball program, but they're the State University of New Jersey, and New Jersey has 8.8 million residents, and most of them had cable. He was basically saying how the landscape has changed, and back in the last expansion a decade or so ago, cable TV numbers were very important at that time. He said now America is unplugging, all right, and so streaming becomes a much bigger component in the next negotiations. I do agree with that. I understand that. And that's where Kansas basketball comes in. He said the Big 12 has a whole card that the Pac-12 doesn't have, and that's Kansas basketball. And he's saying they're a national brand, and there's a lot of people, he says, tens of thousands of fans all over the globe who will pay $6.99 a month. I don't know what that number is of fans around the globe that are going to pay $6.99 a month just to watch Kansas basketball.
Okay,
I don't know.
Hold on a second. So, you said Trammell wrote that the Big 12 has something the Pac-12 doesn't in that regard?
Yes.
Okay, what does he consider UCLA?
Well,
in terms of basketball?
Currently not Kansas. They're not Kansas.
Maybe not on the court.
I mean, I know they won a bunch of national titles with John Wooden.
Well, I'm just saying the brand. I mean, that's what we're not necessarily talking about.
Yeah,
how
we're talking about the brand. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Anyway, I'm just saying, if we're looking at the Big 12 and saying, okay, what about the Big 12? You know, can the Big 12 survive? Would it be good for, like, schools like OSU or any of the remaining schools for the Big 12? Would it be better for them to be absorbed by one of these other conferences or for the Big 12 to survive? And I think the answer for that on any one of the remaining eight schools, you know, is yes, it would be better for them. It'd be better for OSU. If Wormstead is right, it would be better for OSU and K-State in the pack, whatever it is. You know, to me, it seemed like they would add four schools, not just two. But if he's right, and it's just those two, it would be better for OSU and K-State in the pack. It would be definitely better for Kansas and Iowa State in the Big Ten, you know, and better for West Virginia in the ACC than for the Big 12 to survive, because it's not going to retain its status. Like Tram is right with, where he said no one's saying the Big 12's going to retain their current status as number three, you know, overall in the Power Five, you know. But, you know, it'd just be on the fringe of even being Power Five, you know, did survive.
I'm sorry, it wouldn't be. I don't know how you can make an argument that it would. It would not be. I don't.
So they can say all these nice things and that it's very important to college sports and it's important to us for the Big 12 to survive. I don't know that they really. They're saying that. Basically, they're saying we have this alliance just to distract people while we go after the remaining members of the Big 12.
Correct. Okay, so
at the same time that they're meeting, they're all different. All of them are going after different members of the Big 12.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So here's the quote, and it's from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. And again, remember the ground rule I laid out. I'm not here to question the guy's intelligence. It's where, you know, he's where he is for a reason, and I'm here in Oklahoma City. But here's his quote. Let me put it directly. We want and need the Big 12 to do well. The Big 12 matters in college athletics. The Big 12 matters in Power 5 athletics, and so on and so forth. And if I read any more, I'm going to hurl. This is hogwash. The only reason I can think of that they would want the Big 12 to survive and somehow retain a Power 5 status is because that would give them an ally to fight the SEC. Because in my opinion, Craig, I still think at the crux of this alliance, the analogy I threw out, it's almost like the other kids on the playground realize that the big bad bully now has a baseball bat, and if they're going to survive, they've got to lock arms. And again, I go back to the quote that I read from Adam Rittenberg's article over the weekend, you know, where the anonymous Power 5 athletic director, I think it was somebody from these three conferences, an athletic director from one of the alliance conferences, said that we don't want college football or college athletics ran out of the southeastern part of the United States. I continue to believe. Now, what tangible effects come of it? Well, we're going to find out. We really don't know those things yet. But I continue to believe that at the crux of this alliance are the other Power Five leagues or Power Four leagues, however you want to designate that, locking arms and saying, we can't let the SEC take over. I truly believe that.
The crux of it, Matt, is what I've been saying. The crux of it is television. And
correct.
And it's not only that we can't let the SEC take over, it's that we can't let ESPN take over because they are tied together.
Right.
ESPN and the SEC. So, as Dan Wilkin said, no sport in America has gotten in bed with a single television partner to the degree that college football has with ESPN. And especially not all the different conferences were connected to ESPN in some way, but none like the SEC, right? And so, you know, that's what this whole deal about stalling the 12-team playoff. The ironic thing about that, Matt, is that the SEC is the one that's never been, you know, in that big a hurry to expand the playoffs. The 14 playoff was working fine for the SEC. And so the irony of this whole thing, who needs to expand to 12 the most? The Pac-12, who hadn't even been in the playoffs.
Just to get a
much,
team in.
Right? I mean,
well, but again, their fear, though, is that there's going to be a year where, you know, not only their conference champion, but, you know, out of the six at larges, three or four may go to the SEC and all that money going with them. And I understand what you're saying, Craig. They need it just to get in because the Pac-12 has rarely been in this thing. What they haven't been in since, I think, was it either 16 or 17? Wasn't 17, it was 16 with the University of Washington. And I want to say in 14 they had Oregon in it. So I want to say it has only been 2 years since this playoff thing started that they've had a team. So from that standpoint, you're right. But I'm just saying I think that it, now, okay, and speaking of that, Craig, the one thing that I did read yesterday that I do believe in is Commissioner Warren of the Big Ten said, quote, I'm a big believer in expanding the college football playoff, but I'm also a big believer in being methodical and doing our homework. That I can buy into. That I can understand that, and I've said that. I can understand, you know, and again, I think that's one of the reasons why this alliance is put together. I think these conferences are wanting to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute, whoa. Before we make any radical changes, let's at least see where the dust settles. And like you brought up, Craig, I just find it so ironic that, you know, the ACC commissioner says, we've got to have a strong Big 12. Look, if you think these other conferences, any of these other conferences, if they thought that any of these universities from the Big 12, and some of them may do, if they think that one of these Big 12 schools would add to their conference in a substantial way, they would invite them in a heartbeat. In an absolute heartbeat. That's why I laughed out loud when I saw the statement yesterday. We need the Big 12 to be strong. We need it for, you know, for the sake of college athletics. That is, I don't believe it. I don't believe when, you know, the ACC commissioner says that.
But basically, I get back to television, and remember,
right.
the the committee that put the playoff deal together had the SEC commissioner, yep. Bowlesby, who's
Big 12,
who's a non-factor, okay?
Right.
The Notre Dame athletic director, who's Swarbrick. Not really, I mean, he's a little bit tied to the ACC, but Notre Dame is their own entity right now. And then the Mountain West guy, you know, right. So who's not even in the Power Five.
Nobody yeah. from the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. Yet another yeah. reason so, why this alliance, in my opinion, was formed, Craig, because they, again, these conferences don't want to cede any more power than they have to, or probably any power at all, to the SEC. I get back to, Craig, it's the three kids on the playground locking arms saying, hey, we've got to fight the big bully. That's what this is.
No, that's exactly what it is. And they're standing together basically to, again, right now, I mean, the SEC and ESPN are definitely in bed together. And so, as I said yesterday, it's fighting to get more for Fox in with what the playoffs look like, you know, to get another network. And like Woken points out that like in other sports, in the NBA, you got the playoffs on ABC and ESPN,
right.
Also on TNT and so
yep.
forth. Or the Super Bowl rotates between CBS, NBC, and Fox.
Well, and
so
there's
forth.
And all those networks are represented in the NFL playoffs, NBC, Fox, CBS.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so basically they're wanting everyone to step back and so that, you know, ESPN and but college football as a whole, I think he's right when he says no sport in America has gotten in bed with a single television partner to the degree that college football has with ESPN. I mean it's just you know, it's just a fact.
Yes, that's right.
But especially the SEC. And so anyway, but yeah, I thought about that. I thought, well, heck, this playoff committee, I mean, it really didn't I mean, all these three commissioners that have formed this alliance. Kevin Warren's been on the job for a year and a half in the Big Ten. The ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, less than a year. And this George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, has only been there for a couple of months, you know.
Yes, right. So, and they realize that. And they realize that Greg Sankey, like it or not, Greg Sankey, you can make a strong case, is the most powerful man in college athletics. And those other conferences realize that. They also realize that they've got commissioners who may be very qualified, but they're very new to this, at least in their role. And, again, basically these conferences don't want to be taken behind the woodshed by the SEC. I mean, that's what it boils down to, and their strength in numbers.
Yeah. So basically they're going up against, they're saying that, you know, the SEC is the juggernaut. ESPN has a monopoly on the most valuable property, which is the SEC, as Mark talked
right.
about yesterday.
And they have that, for people that don't know, by the way, and we've talked about this, but that's because they bought the contract that CBS had. That game of the week, that 2:30 CBS game, is now going to ESPN, just in case people missed that. So, yes, the ESPN networks now have the entirety of the SEC schedule.
That's right. You know, basically they have, well, he said college football playoff is on ESPN with all the associated programming around the selections. The postseason award shows are on ESPN. There's 40 bowl games this year broadcast on ESPN and ABC, just three on the other networks. All right.
Right.
Once the contract with CBS expires in 2024, that the SEC's inventory will be owned entirely by ESPN through 2034, which ESPN also has all the ACC's games locked up to 2036. They got the American until 2032, all right? And even the Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, and others have sold at least parts of their TV rights to ESPN. And so, and then another thing frustrating these guys is when the word leaked on OU in Texas. You know, remember, Matt, there was a suspicion across college sports that ESPN had a hand in
right.
facilitating that move, which you know, that they have denied. And so, basically, there was a good chance, right, that the college football playoff plan to go to 12 teams which he also points out in here that Sankey, that they were working on this 12-team proposal for 2 years in secret before they rolled it out in public in June. But there was a pretty darn good chance that was going to be approved next month, all right, when they had their meeting in September.
Yes, you know? Right.
And the momentum was that it was going to be implemented probably as early as 23.
Right.
You know, so.
Because at that point, again, we've talked about this before, the college football playoff contract was a 12-year deal. But each 3 years completes a cycle. Like, you know, for example, the first year, I think it was the Rose and Sugar that had the semis. And the second year, it was the Orange and the Cotton. And then the third year was the Fiesta and the Peach. So even though after 22, going into the 23 season, even though there would still be 3 years left on the contract, the whole cycle would have ran through, so everybody would have been made whole. Everybody would have had the same amount of chances to host the semifinals. So that's why a lot of people believe that it could have been gone into effect by 23.
And if it would have gone into effect by 23, for that to happen, all right, they would have had to negotiate exclusively
with ESPN.
Because
correct.
They have the contract for the 4-team playoff through 2026. Yeah. So
correct.
ESPN had a 4-year window there, 23, 4, 5, 6, where they would have had to negotiate exclusively with ESPN.
Because they own the contract. That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's, again, like we've pointed out, that's why a lot of people believe, and I can see the merit that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 want to hold off on that so their network can get in on the fun.
That's right. They're stalling on that. Yeah. That's exactly right. All right. There's a whole lot to get into, as you say, and I can't wait to see what Pat has to say about the news that Dave Wannstedt broke yesterday. So there's just a lot of moving parts in college football. You know, what will happen to the Big 12? What will happen to the remaining eight members and so forth? This new Big Ten, ACC, Pac-12 alliance, where there is no legal documentation formalizing this agreement, no binding enforcement mechanism there, as they're all going after teams remaining in the Big 12. It is chaos.
No, they want the Big 12 to be strong. No, they don't want the Big 12 to go anywhere.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.